See, there's a little microphone in here, and I just press the record button, and it all goes on the tape.
Oh.
So everything we say here is going to be put down there. Got to watch your language.
Well, I guess so.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, what I wanted to talk to you about, Mr. Denton, is I want to write an article about what Northville was like back in the summertime, mainly, in 1925.
Well, in 1925, Northville, what I got it figured out, was a wonderful little town. You see, I'd been used to small towns in the Western Canada. And when I came to Northville in 21, it was a small town. We got to know everybody because I was a farmer, and most everybody around Northville was farmers or horsemen.
That's right.
Northville was a wonderful little horsey town.
Yeah.
And some of those horsemen really was great horsemen there, and we had some good horses around here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I got it figured out, Northville is a little town both I and my wife loved.
Oh,
it was so friendly.
Really?
Yes, it was friendly, and boy, people was good. You know, those days things were different.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have a cobblestone blacksmith shop the end of East Main, near Hutton. Then there was another blacksmith shop owned by Mr. Litzenberger just on Hutton, just around the corner.
Oh yeah, now that's all garages and furniture stores there now. There's a garage there.
Yeah. And then up in Center Street there, just about midway in Center Street and done that, there used to be another farm store there owned by Mr. Catamol. You could buy parts for your plows and different things like that,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
And where I got it figured out, it was a wonderful little town. Everyone was happy around here. And on a Saturday night, we used to meet in front of the drugstore, which is now Mr. Lorenz's drugstore.
Right.
There used to be a bandstand on those four.
I know, that's what I've heard so much about. And
There used to be a bandstand there, and the band would be up there, and it'd play all sorts of selections. And us farmer guys, we used to go around there and listen to the band and talk about what we're going to put in or take off or some hunting or other.
You'd get to see all your friends that way then on Saturday.
Oh yeah, it was a great place to meet. And then there was two drugstores those days. There was Mr. Murdoch's drugstore and Mr. Horton's. Mr. Horton's was where the Lorenz drugstore is today, and Mr. Murdoch's was where the other drugstore is, you see.
Uh-huh.
And they all had ice cream counters those days.
Uh-huh. With little round tables?
Or you could sit up at the counter.
Uh-huh.
But where we used to go with Jim Spagnolia's, he put up the biggest banana split. Yeah.
Yeah.
He put up the biggest one with a big banana and lots of ice cream.
Oh,
and
my.
He put up the biggest one in town. Old Jim's still living, you know.
I know. Now that's his son that runs the
store.
That's
his son Joe that runs the store,
they call it now. Yeah,
they're a wonderful family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've known Jim for over 50 years, and he's a wonderful, wonderful man.
Yeah. Boy, ice cream must have been a real treat then on a hot
summer day. Oh, those banana
day.
Splits that Jim used to make were out of this world.
Yeah.
And it didn't cost very little those days, you know.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you see, we didn't have the horse racing we do today, but we used to have horse racing around the track by local horsemen. You know, now Mr. Starkweather.
Starkweather,
he used to breed good horses.
Uh-huh.
And there was Mr. Beauchamp, Bill Beauchamp. He was quite a horseman. Oh, Mr. Markham was a wonderful horseman. And the Niles was all wonderful horsemen. The Niles had quite a family, and they were practically born in the stable. They was really horsemen from the cradle up.
Right, I know Mrs. Starkweather quite well. I'll be going to visit her this afternoon.
Oh yeah, Ruth is
and
a wonderful
she tells
woman.
Me about how her husband got that started. He was very instrumental in getting the horses,
oh,
horse racing
he was
started.
A wonderful horseman. He had some good horses. He had these Hamiltonians, you know, and they was wonderful horses. And yeah, it was a great town. I tell you, I've enjoyed all my years here.
Mm-hmm.
if we go away,
my
wife and I used to go back to Western Canada every year, but we were always glad to get back. Because I had some wonderful friends in Northville.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a farmer in Northville for the Farm Trust Estates. I was superintendent there, and we had 1,000 acres on that road. Mm-hmm. And we had a purebred herd of Jerseys. We had a purebred herd of Shorthorns. And then we had about 100 head of what we call feeder cattle to feed up. See, we had 1,000 acres on the road. Well, then we had a string of polo ponies and string of hunters.
Oh, my.
And we used to run two fox hunts a week. But without a fox, we used to have the fox scent we used to buy. And then we used to get permission around Salem Way for some of the farmers there to go through their place. And we used to put jumps in for the people to go over, you jump over.
Oh,
you know?
My, yeah.
And I used to go and lay the drag line out ahead of the people, and then the hounds, they'd follow. Then every so often we'd pick up the drag line so there wouldn't be any scent, and then the hounds would start to circle around, and that would give the huntsman time to catch up with the hounds again.
Oh, wow.
And they'd keep circling wide and wide until they got the scent again, then away they'd go again.
Uh-huh. Well, the people back in those days, of course, in 1925, the automobile, the Model T, was around.
Yeah, it was around then.
But
yeah.
Not many people had one, I don't suppose.
Well, times weren't so good then, you know. I forget when Ford started the $5 a day.
About 1920, I think it was.
Somewhere around.
Mm, yeah.
Well, was it that early?
I don't know. Maybe it was later than that.
I think it was later. But farm help those days was only about $1 a day, although we paid more, Mr. Grennan did, because we used to want good help. We paid more than anybody
else.
You
could afford it, too.
We could afford it. And when you are somebody, you want to make sure they're going to stay, so you pay them good wages so they will stay.
So they'll stay, that's right, yeah. Would you mind if I smoke?
No.
Does that bother you? Okay.
There's an ashtray right there.
Okay. In those days, women didn't smoke, did they? It was very rare for a woman to smoke.
I don't know. Gosh, I don't remember. I didn't pay much attention.
Yeah, I don't think that happened until about World War II that women began to smoke. It wasn't very ladylike, I don't think.
Oh. Well.
But the men smoked.
I never smoked cigarettes.
You always
smoked? I smoke a cigar every day, and I've smoked a cigar every day for... I guess, or maybe when I was in World War, I didn't get a chance to get many cigars, but otherwise I've been smoking cigars for pretty near 70 years, I guess.
Oh, my goodness.
Never hurt me any.
Mm-hmm.
I love a cigar.
Mm. Well, I think cigars are less harmful for you anyway than cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, you don't get that hot.
And you don't inhale them, do you?
No, you don't inhale.
I know.
And I don't think it's a good plan to inhale smoke anyway.
No, it isn't. It really isn't. It's a bad habit, but more people do it.
With
the times we live in, everything is so fast now, you know. You sometimes feel you need a cigarette to slow you down or something.
That's right.
But things were pretty slow moving back in 1925, weren't they? Compared to today? Pretty slow moving.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, we had some bad times around that time. Things wasn't doing so good. There was quite a lot of people unemployed, and I don't recall exactly what year it was, but somewhere around that time of the year, I know I could hire good carpenters for $3 or $4 a day. I built a up on Mr. Grennan's property. I built an all western cabin and Western Corral, and put up Western gates that you wouldn't see this side of Alberta, those gates.
Really?
Because they was all swung without hinges.
Oh, my goodness.
And Mr. Grennan was tickled to death with them, because while we was building that winter, he was in Texas that winter, him and Mrs. Grennan. They used to travel away in the winter quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And when he come back, he said, boy, if I'd have been here, I'd have spoiled it. He said, I'd have probably said, do this or do that, and I would never have got anything.
Right, yeah, so he left it up to you, and he got something.
And then I built him a corral without a nail.
Oh,
but I didn't have rawhide, but I used hay wire just for the fun of building a corral without a nail. I used hay wire.
That's amazing.
Well, it was just Mr. Grennan wanted something just a little different, and he had the money he could pay for it.
Yeah.
And we had our own poles. We had a lot of woods there, and we could cut our own poles for a corral in the woods, you see.
Uh-huh.
So that it was all right.
Mm-hmm. Did you see many cars on the street, though, like down at Main and Center where
Well, there wasn't as many cars as there is today.
Yeah.
No.
Car was a luxury in those days, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were. They were. A lot of people used to drive to town on a Saturday night, you know, with horses, with the buggy or the wagon.
They'd come in with their buggy?
Oh, yeah, they'd come in with the buggy or the wagon.
Like the people that lived out on the farms.
They lived on the farms, yeah.
Yeah.
But eventually they got the old Model T.
Yeah.
And we had little parking places there, and of course there was no parking meters those days.
Yeah. And the roads were a little bit narrower.
The Main Street was narrower those days. It was widened later. I couldn't tell you just when.
Yeah, 1931, I think they had to widen it.
Yeah,
they made the sidewalks shorter.
Yeah, they that's right. And
was the road paved?
Not those days. No.
It was just a dirt road.
It might have been oil or something, but it wasn't paved like it is today.
Uh-huh. And more trees probably too, weren't there?
Eh?
More trees?
I can't recall about the trees on there now. I can't recall that. I don't remember about the trees. But of course, you see, those days, things was different. An entry in Northville, like you might say, around where that little bridge was there, near back of Andolph's, Dr. Andolph's office. Well, that wasn't there then, you know. That place wasn't there then.
Yeah.
And of course, there might have been a few more trees on the banks as you entered Northville.
Mm-hmm.
Northville was really a nice town to enter. It was picturesque. There was trees, as you know, coming along the boulevard there.
Oh, yeah.
And
And of course, the racetrack wasn't there then.
The racetrack wasn't there then. About I'd say about 1942 or three. I don't recall. We had a race, a flat race, put on, I think, by Mr. Scott Cole, with a saddle. What do you call it? A flat race with horses. Like a regular horse race, not a sulky race.
Yeah, the jockeys rode on the horses.
Jockeys rode the horses. Well, then, the next year, it might have been, as I say, I can't recall exactly, but 44 or 45, then we started the sulky racing. And boy, they was picturesque. And of course, most of the horses those days was in tents. Mm-hmm. We didn't have enough stables those days to house the, and of course the grandstand was an awful lot different than what it is today.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
And but previous to having the races, we used to have little races by these gentlemen I told you about, like Mr. Starkweather's horses and poor old Mr. Bill Beauchamp and old Mr.
Is there a Mr. Tull that you remember?
Eh?
Mr. Tull? T-U-L-L?
Tuller?
Tull. I've talked to his wife, Vera.
I can't remember, it seems to remember that name, but old Mr. Markham was another good old driver, and the Niles was, of course, wonderful drivers. They had not only Mr. Niles, but their sons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they used to come over from Canada, some of them. And Northville was a well-respected little town. And
what did you do for fun?
Eh?
What did you do for fun? Like on a Saturday night, you went down to the bandstand?
Well, on a Saturday night, I just can't recall what we did for fun other than come down and listen to the band. And of course, there was a saloon or two, you know.
Yeah.
And you could go in the saloons. And
of course, the ladies didn't go in the saloons.
No, not the ladies, no. And
And that was the Salvation Army band that played there?
The Salvation Army used to come in sometimes on a Saturday night and play. I recall it now you speak of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they used to come in and play.
And people would sing with them too, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know, there used to be, there was no Kroger's or A&P stores.
Right, yeah.
The only stores that I can recall there was is the C.F. Smith store, and there used to be Mr. Elliott's grocery store, and there used to be Mr. Likes Hardware, and Mr. Elliott's Hardware, that was another Mr. Elliott, and then there used to be a little tea shop. What's the name of it? I can't remember that name.
Oh, a little tea shop, really?
And I know a name. What's them people that own those buildings near where this, on the end of Arden Street?
Own buildings there.
His mother used to have a little tea shop.
Not the Stones or the Ely's or the...
No, across from Ely's, this way.
Across from Ely's on Hutton. I don't know, but what was the tea shop like?
Oh, it was a little room she had. We used to go there. My wife used to like to go in there because my wife wouldn't go in the saloon anyway. And she used to like going out and have a cup of tea. Mrs. Ware.
Oh.
It was Mrs. Ware's tea shop.
Uh-huh.
Then there used to be old Mr. McCullough's shoe shop. And then there used to be the Stark Brothers shoe shop. They was fine old gentlemen. Then of course there was Mr. Friedel, the tailor.
Mm-hmm.
They're still here, and
people had to come from miles around to do their shopping, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, there were no shopping.
Because we hadn't got no stores around like we got today.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, I think the North would have been better if it stayed that way.
And I think so too.
Yeah, I tell you, there's nothing like a little farming community for me.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I want to write this article, because I think in this day and age, we're too spread out, we're too fast, we depend too much on the automobile.
And I think, like Detroit, when you get too many people in one place, it's a mess. You can't handle it.
Yeah.
Little communities is far better.
That's right. People can know each other and help each other.
Where I used to be as a kid out in Western Canada, I think in the little town and all the township around it, I think there's still about 500 people. It's never got any bigger.
My goodness.
It's a prairie town.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I, we used to go there every year for years and years, and it's still a prairie town. And I was classified as one of the old timers when they had their 100th year. That was about 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
See, I knew Winnipeg when it was a horsey town.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you see, Winnipeg is a town where the Red River and the Assiniboine River meet. Come into Winnipeg, and then you see that's where the Indians and the half-breed used to bring their furs up there and sell to the Northwest Company and the Hudson Bay Company.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I knew the West when she was rough.
I'll bet you did. Yeah, you know what you've told me, boy.
I've got some scars on me from the West.
Yeah.
You know? And
from the half-breed that stuck his knife in your hand.
That book, I would have showed you that book, but I lent it to my son. He was out here just before he went to Germany a little while ago. He just got back from Germany. He goes to Europe every year practically for a trip around. He likes that country. And
of course, in those days, nobody went to Europe except the very, very wealthy.
No, that's you was wealthy.
Yeah, yeah.
But it didn't cost much. It didn't cost much. You could go from Newfoundland or Montreal those days to Liverpool, London, for $50 anyway.
Is that right?
On a boat? You'd be 10 days on the water.
Mm-hmm.
For $50, good.
Of course, $50 was a lot more money.
It took about 2 months to earn $50.
Yeah. My goodness.
But I tell you. Clothes were downright cheaper, though. That's one good thing.
Oh,
but you
haven't
got to pay $20 for a pair of shoes.
That's right. My grandfather tells me about when he used to pay 8 cents for a shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you get all the shirts you want for a dollar a piece those days. We used to go over from Manitoba into Minnesota in Duluth there. There used to be a big store called the Big Duluth, and boy, you could get stuff for a song, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
My God, I can't recall exactly, but I know overalls didn't cost a dollar at those days, and I know shirts didn't cost a dollar.
And what did people wear in those days? Did the men go around dressed in overalls and then
we used to have overalls most of the time, yeah. And
and the ladies, what did they dress?
Well, the ladies all wore long dresses, you know.
Even in 1925, weren't their dresses up to about, they
well,
started
so much
to go
in
up
Western
a little
Canada.
Bit. Mm. What about here in Northville?
Well, in Northville, I believe they got them just above their ankles.
Just above the
Well,
ankles.
That's my wife up there. She that was taken, because that was taken in that was taken about 20 years ago.
Uh-huh. But still, I know after World War I is when women started to wear their skirts a little bit shorter.
Yeah, that's
before
about it.
Before World War I, it was always all the way down, covered the ankle, and it was really
when they showed their ankle. They used to wear them way down.
Mm-hmm. But they were pretty much covered up, even in the hot summertime.
They used to wear petticoats and all that darn mm-hmm. thing under the dresses.
Yeah, how they stood it.
The way I got it figured, I don't know how the devil they started now with nothing on. Some of these days, these kids come home from school and they're putting their naked, you know, going along, you know. And I'm still got my clothes on.
Yeah.
Well, I think a woman, I don't know, do they feel the heat more than a man?
No, but it's just, I don't know, people are into showing their bodies more these days, young people. Even I'm not that much older, but I look at like 18-year-olds. And they dress with, like you say, almost nothing on. And that,
what's the sense to it?
Oh, because we're just more...
I just want to see a woman nicely dressed.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah. I agree with you. Things have changed so much, though, like I said, every...
Well, I used to... I don't know, I like to see a woman. I own some of these darn things on the television. They're a pain in the neck. I generally try to get Channel 9 and get some Western pictures or wildlife pictures. And the Western pictures coming anymore, they seem to be falling out.
Yeah. What, when you went on a picnic in those days, what was it like?
Well, of course, the park was being built. The park has been built now quite a few years. That park was built, oh gosh, it's hard for me to say exactly. But that park's been built 40 years. See, Mr. Grennan used to own some of that park, and...
You mean the Ed Hines Park there?
Yeah, around there. You see, we used to... That was a part of his farms one time.
Oh, my.
Before they made the roads different. That was a part of that was.
Uh-huh.
And there's several other people. I think Mr. Butch Baldwin owned a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Where
Mr. Haller's home is now. That was all Farm Crest Estates those days.
Oh, wow.
Of course, Mr. Haller's now in Switzerland. He sold that.
Mm-hmm.
But...
So there were quite a few wealthy people in Northville, too, at the
time. Yeah, that's right.
Wealthy farmers. Yeah.
And you know, that 6 Mile Road, when you went up 6 Mile Road, that wasn't as wide as it is today. There was a little wooden bridge there those days.
Really?
Yeah, before the other bridge was built. Well, then when they started to build the park, well, then the companies, you know, like Ford and different people,
Company picnics
in the park there.
Uh-huh.
All that property was owned by old Mr. Cass Benton, you know.
That's right. Yeah, he donated.
Yeah, poor old Cass. Yeah, it's like the little depot down there. You know, the train used to run there, and I used to know the station agent. We used to come up there and unload cattle and different things. And
where was the depot at?
It was if you kept going straight down Main Street, you'd run right into it.
Right there near where the Ford factory is.
Yeah, right behind where they still have got the spring with the water.
Right behind that, huh?
Yeah, and the trains used to come in there daily, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Would farmers send their produce in on the train, or?
Well, I don't know whether the farmers sent the produce in on it, but if we was buying stuff, like we used to buy cattle from up north, and we'd buy fertilizer by the truckload, and that would all come in there, like, you know, the freight would come in there.
Right, yeah.
And the mail would come in there, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, those days, Mr. Perrin used to meet the mail there.
Mm, yeah.
And a policeman used to guard him.
Used to go up there
and meet with him, and he didn't need to, but that was the rule.
Yeah. And they had streetcars that people could get around.
There was a streetcar that used to run from, I believe it was Bates Street in Detroit, along 8 Mile Road. They used to call it the Interurban.
Uh-huh.
And that used to stop around there near where Pennell Avenue is, where it 8 Mile, and come right around and go to Plymouth.
That's right. You could go all the way from Detroit to Plymouth and stop at Northville if you wanted to.
Yeah, you'd stop at Northville. My wife used to often take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when did you get a car? When did you get your first car?
Me? Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, I was always lucky, always had money. I bought a new car every year from 21 until the year 65. I bought a new one every year, and sometimes as many as three a year when I would change models, or when my children graduated or something like that.
Uh-huh. What was your first car then, a Model T?
My first car was Then I think my second car was what they called a gray car. I bought that in Farmington. Then my next one, I believe, was an Oakland. Not an Oldsmobile, an Oakland.
Mm.
And I bought several Oldsmobile, and I bought Buick, and I bought Pontiacs. But I bought more Fords than anything.
More Fords, yeah.
Yeah, I bought a lot of Fords.
Yeah, well, that was a good car, too.
A good car. I bought one special Studebaker, I remember.
Oh, my. And a Ford was a good car, and it was a cheaper car, too, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, that was made a lot of wood, though. See? That special Studebaker, I probably bought that in about 1922 or 1923. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah.
But,
but
my wife and I, we all drove to Toronto Fair and around.
You drove in your car all the way to Toronto?
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. I drove my car to British Columbia every year for many years, for 30
right?
years. Sure.
Well, how long would it have taken you to get to Toronto by car?
Oh, you'd get there in a day.
Well, now you can get there in 4 hours.
To go, you see, those days we used to go across the river in a boat.
Oh, yeah.
In a ferry.
Right. Put your car on the ferry.
Put the car on the ferry and go over. And and sometimes, my wife and I, we'd drive to Port Huron and go over there to Sarnia and go that way, through London that way,
mm-hmm.
on there. And
mm-hmm. You couldn't go very fast.
Well, you probably couldn't go as fast as you can go today, but you could go along 45, 50 miles an hour.
Is that right? Oh, my. Well, that's
yeah.
almost
But the
sad.
Roads weren't as good as they are today.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot
yeah.
of rough roads those days.
Yeah.
Pretty bumpy.
Mm-hmm.
And
When you traveled for a long day like that, did you carry food in the car with
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah, we always carried plenty of food. My
yeah.
wife was a son of a gun to have sandwiches packed up and every other darn thing.
Yeah. Of course, you didn't have any plastic and you didn't have any paper like we do today.
No, she had little tins or boxes, whatever you call them. She was down there, she just knew how to fix up things. She was one of these old country ladies and she knew how to fix up things, by God.
Yeah, yeah.
We used to go to Western Canada, I'd say, every year. We used to drive to British Columbia, and that was 3,000 miles those days.
Oh, my.
Each way.
You drove that in your car?
Well, sure. I that was the thing I'd do. I used to buy a new car practically every year when we started off.
And sell your old one?
Sell my old one, but it didn't cost much those days to trade in. I trade my old one in, and gosh, I don't think lots of time you had to pay about $600 or $700 to trade in.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that didn't mean much those days,
yeah.
not to me.
What did the kids do for fun? What did the children do?
Well, my children was on the farm, and I bought horses for my little daughter. She could ride horses. I bought her from ponies and to a smaller horse to a good horse, so she rode in the shows.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And then my other boys, they could ride on the farm. They could ride any of the farm polo ponies if they wanted. They all had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some very good grooms those days. We fellows that was good horsemen, a fellow named John Walls, and old Tom Campbell, and I can't remember the names of them now of all of them, but we had a good outfit of people, and good
mm-hmm.
dairymen, you know.
So the kids were busy. They didn't have time to get in trouble or anything like that.
Well, didn't seem to be any trouble those days. There didn't seem to be so many darn kids around. Heck, we only had this one school in Northville those days. And that was, that was filled enough. Now we got, I don't know how many schools.
Yeah, we're so much bigger now. How many people do you think were in Northville in 1925?
Well, I'd hate to guess, but I don't think there was, I wouldn't think there was much over 1,000. I don't know. I can't
yeah.
remember exactly.
Uh-huh,
but I doubt if there was much over 1,000 within the city limits.
Yeah.
Because we used to call it the village of Northville those days.
That's right,
yeah.
Yeah, because now we have 6,000 just inside the city limits.
Is there?
Uh-huh.
Well, then you see, we used to have a village president those days. Not a village mayor, a village president.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then we had the doctors was Doc Snow, Dr. Holcomb, and then Dr. Atchison, and of course before those there used to be the old Dr. Henrys, brothers Henrys, they was doctors, you know, and Dr. and Mrs. Sparling, they was, and we used to have our own little hospital here.
Did you?
You're darn right, and it was a good little hospital.
I think that's the one right on the corner where my parents live. At Dunlap Street, on Dunlap Street?
It's, you know, the hospital is on West Main, about midway. Well, it's not too far from Linden going to Rogers, about midway between Linden and Rogers, you might say.
Mm-hmm. Was it a black building?
No, it's just an ordinary building.
I think, because there's a doctor's office right there on the corner of Linden and Dunlap, facing onto Dunlap. And I wondered if that was it.
Well, that's Dr. Snow's place.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's where Dr. Snow lives.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
You know, Doc's been there a good while. He was a wonderful doctor, too.
Yeah.
Grand fellow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a wonderful town. That little hospital we had, I'll tell you, that was a shame when we lost it.
Yeah.
My daughter was born there.
Is that right?
Yeah, and my wife was operated on in that hospital, too. It was a good hospital. We had some good doctors here.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, did you like going downtown on Saturday night? Was that a pretty regular thing for
you? We always went down on Saturday night. The old darn gang of the farm boys, and we used to go in old Jim's store and have a Sunday. And then I talked to, the old time farmers, Herman Stamen and the Christensen boys and the Whipples, Howard Whipple I can't remember them all now.
Do you know Shipleys?
Eh?
Do you know the Shipleys?
Oh, Mr. Shipley, sure. He used to be a barber.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I knew him. And now Charlie Luke was another great old gentleman, a farmer down just outside north of there. Charlie was a wonderful fellow. Charlie, right now, he's over 90 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Where does he live? Still lives in Northville?
Charlie lives in what is Livonia, you know. Those days they didn't call it Livonia.
What'd they call it then?
Well, it was more or less in the suburban areas, you know. I think Northville used to deliver that with mail on their rural routes those days.
That's right. And Livonia was probably farmland, a lot of it.
Oh, it was all farmland. All the land around here. And then there used to be Mr. Hill's farm, you know, on the 8th. On the 8 mile road there, and I tell you, Northville was a wonderful little place. We had some good crops, I don't know. It seems to me it was a happy little town. I never heard of many complaints those days.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see the Gibson boys. They used to be quite good sized farmers, but they had fruit orchards.
Mm.
They was on Sheldon and 6 mile there, you know.
Oh yeah.
Both sides of the road.
Where there's a golf club or something there.
Well, the golf club on the other side.
Yeah, I know where
that used to be. The old Dr. Johnson's farm years ago.
Oh, really?
He used to be a vet. Then the old Dr. Gavell was another vet. There was another great old gentleman. He was a veterinary surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And, I tell you, you know, when you get talking, it's a good thing we have memories. Memories are a treasure, really.
Oh, yes.
Because they were good old days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, since I've been crippled up, I can't get out. I haven't been down to Northville, only just as my daughter's drove me through for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't get around. And but as long as I've got the memories of what Northville used to be, that's the main thing to me.
I had some
wonderful friends in Northville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then on the corner there, let's see, I don't know whether the record office still have it, Mr. Hannaford used to have a store there, and before that, Mr. Ware used to have a store there, and Mr. Huff used to have a store there. I mean, we see all that stuff changed, you know, as they went along.
Yeah.
And
well, when you got together on Saturday night, were the streets just filled with people?
Well, there wasn't that many to create a jam, but the sidewalks, you know, the people had talked to one another. We generally used to meet near the bandstand, where near Mr. Horton's drugstore, and we'd be talking around there, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
and I'd be talking. You say, "Well, how many acres corn are you going to put in today?" Because we had a lot of acres. We had 1,000 acres of land, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'd talk to the Whipples or the Christensen boys, or then there was another old gentleman, old Bill, gosh, I can't think of his name now. He used to have a farm there on Novi Road.
Hmm.
Boy, and his son used to be connected with the races. Bill Rattenbury, that's it.
Hmm.
Old Bill Rattenbury, he's another gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I've heard that name.
Gosh, you know, I wish I could think of more of them. I'd just love to meet some of those old timers, but a lot of them have passed away. That's
yeah.
the thing of it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. But to me, the old world was the best.
Yeah, it sounds.
I had more fun when I was young than I'm getting today. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, you know, so many of the kids around Northville today complain about it being a boring town and there's nothing to do. I hear this from the high school kids.
Well, if the kids want something to do, why don't they come around now and say to me, could you give me a little job for an hour or two? I'd say, sure. Come on, clean up here, do this and do that.
Mm-hmm.
By golly, you know, you can always give a kid a job or two, but you're not going to give a kid $5 an hour when he's not. But
that's what they want. Yeah, exactly.
That's the dickens of it.
Mm-hmm. I know. I know my brother. I know some other young people. They don't want to work for a dollar an hour even.
No, I know if a kid was worth $5, it's right to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you don't expect a kid to do a man's work. And if he was a good kid, well, we'll give him $2 an hour. I never cheat on a kid. I give him plenty. Like,
mm-hmm.
Now, I paid over $50 this year for shoveling snow.
Mm, my goodness.
Yeah, I always keep my yard like it is now, all winter.
Uh-huh.
So that my daughter can drive in or out or anything like that, you know.
Oh, wow, that's good.
Yeah.
Did you go to the movies back then?
Yeah, we used to go to the movies. By golly, there used to be the old movie theater there, and we used to go there. I can't think of Harry.
The movie theater that's still there now?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, years ago, in the 20s, 1920s, that we used to have a little movie, not a movie, but a little theater on the Center Street, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, near where the old Catamore building was. And right there was where Mr. Brader, old Sam Brader, first started up his little store with ladies' dresses. That was when he first come here, and then later he took where the Brader store is today, you know.
Main Street,
he was a good, they were good people to deal with.
Uh-huh. Well, did they have live plays?
Eh?
Did they have plays, like, in the theater?
Yeah, those days, yeah. Uh-huh. Little dramatic
uh-huh.
plays.
Presentation.
Yeah, and that's been pulled down now for quite a few years.
Was that the Opera House?
It's called the Opera House, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about
yeah.
that.
Yeah, that burned down,
and then
it?
Mr. Sid Mose, he used to have a butcher shop pretty near at the end of the street where that a restaurant there or something on the end, isn't it?
Yeah, over by the old mill or the...
No, right on Center Street.
The Winner Circle, the bar, right on Center Street.
On Center Street, right across from the drawbridge.
Oh, yes.
Right across from that. Well, Mr. Sid Mose used to have a butcher shop there.
Uh-huh.
And he was one of the first, when my wife and I come from Canada, we went down to Sid's and met Sid, and Sid come from Canada too, you see.
Oh, yeah?
And Sid's daughter, Sid Mose's daughter, lives right across the road here from me. She married, Mr. Mose's son lives across the daughter from me, and he married the daughter, I just told you about Bill Beauchamp, used to be quite a horseman.
Yeah.
And so Marion and Sid live right across the road, and they're very good neighbors.
Uh-huh, yeah. What did you do back in those days, young people, when they wanted to go out on a date or something? What was their...
Well, I doubt if
do?
I know, because I didn't do anything. Of course,
you were married by then
yeah.
and everything.
I don't know. Well, they probably had bicycles or...
Did people ride bikes a lot in those days?
Well, they used to ride bicycles. Yeah, my kids all had bicycles those days. And because my boys had cars when they was quite young, too.
Uh-huh.
But it was quite a place.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it. And when you went on a picnic and you had to keep something cool, how did you do that?
Well, you know, you didn't go in for all that ice, but Mr. Ely used to have a ice house here.
Uh-huh.
And you could go and buy your ice there, or you could have your ice delivered every day.
Yeah, there was someone went around with a truck.
Yeah, they went around with a truck. And
pulled by horses.
That's it. Mr. Ely used to do that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they used to have the ice house.
And you'd get your 25 or 50 pounds of ice?
Yeah, whatever you wanted, yeah.
Now, was that before plumbing? Did they have indoor plumbing back in those days? Or did you have outhouses?
Well, of course, we had indoor plumbing, yeah. We had indoor plumbing when I came here in 21.
Mm-hmm. But not everybody did, out
on
the farms.
Well, probably not everybody did. Maybe a lot of people didn't, but we did.
Mm-hmm. And electricity and all of that you had
already. Yeah, we had everything that way. And I'll tell you, on the farm, I didn't have pipeline gas, but I bought this tank gas, and we used to have three big tanks all the time because my wife used to have to do a lot of cooking. We used to have a lot of help on the farm, you know.
Uh huh.
And we had the tank gas, and that was very good gas too.
Mm-hmm.
So we was lucky. We was always lucky. We never had to. The only thing my wife never had those days was a washing machine.
Oh boy!
And she used to have to wash in the tub.
I wouldn't have wanted to be the wife in those days
well,
with
I'll
all
tell
the work
you,
they had to do.
A woman didn't grumble either. A woman was worth her weight in gold, and I still think a woman's superior to a man in anything she undertakes.
Oh boy, I like that
well,
attitude.
Well, I'm telling you, I do, because a woman is a wonderful person. And my golly, anything that she can handle, it seems she puts more into it. I don't know.
Yeah, women had to work pretty hard. I just talked to a woman named Mrs. Horsfall.
Oh, Mrs. Horsfall?
Yeah, do you know Mrs. Horsfall?
Lived over on the north side?
Over on Horton there.
Yeah,
over
that's
by the
sure.
Lake.
Yeah, I used to know her husband too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was an engineer on the lakes for a while. Well, that was her first husband. I don't know what her second husband did. I think he worked for Ford's.
I believe he did. I just forget.
And she worked for Ford too. They had a ladies' plant over at Phoenix or something.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
That.
My daughter worked there as a young girl.
Uh-huh. And she was telling me about what it was like to do the ironing. And what? The washing and the baking of the bread. Did you
they used to bake
bread?
The bread and you know, a woman was never done from the time she got up in the morning to the time she went to bed at night. She's working all the darn time.
That's right. Yeah. Men worked just as hard, though.
Well, men
everybody
worked hard,
worked
but
hard.
I don't think. I tell you, when you get this year washing and ironing and cooking and all that, I think I'd shouldn't be working out in the field
That's
all day.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Work never bothered me. I never ever got tired of work.
I never
got tired of any job I ever had. I've had a wonderful
That's
life.
That's a wonderful thing to say, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I've never got tired of any job I ever had, and I always got on fine any job I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no regrets whatsoever. I never wished that I hadn't done this or hadn't done that. It seemed as though that everything has gone my way.
You were very lucky then.
Boy, I'm lucky. And the only thing that's ever got wrong with me is this damn arthritis. But I'm so healthy, I've never had a day's sickness in my life.
That's amazing.
But I've had bones broken and shot up a bit and different things like that. But that's nothing
mm-hmm.
compared with a sickness.
Yeah, that's
a sickness, right. A sickness will get you down quicker than anything.
That's right, yeah, because you don't know how to fight back.
That's right.
But you were a lucky person then.
I've been awfully lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I never know what it was to have to lay in bed with a sickness.
Mm. Well, I think that's partly in your mind, too.
Beg your pardon?
I think it's partly in your mind. I think if you've got a strong mind and a strong will,
well, I think
you
a lot
fight
of
back
a lot of
more.
People, they fear things. You know, there are people that would fear going having a tooth out.
Yeah.
I think fear is it's the worst thing in the world. I never feared anything, and I've had a rough life.
Mm-hmm.
I was a cavalry scout in France when I was up there at the beginning of the war.
Back in 1914?
Didn't I show you my pictures once?
You showed me those, yes.
Yeah.
Those are fascinating.
And I know what it is to be in the wars in the cavalry.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you learned early at 15 when you took off to South Africa.
Yeah, and I know what it is to go and fetch herd cattle and fetch cattle in when the mosquitoes are so darn bad on the prairies you couldn't breathe.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's the truth.
What'd you do about the mosquitoes? You
well,
didn't have any repellent to rub on you.
We used to rub cedar oil and that. We rub axle grease on the horses' bellies so they wouldn't keep kicking and bucking.
Oh my.
And some of those darn mosquitoes and those bullflies, or we used to call them bulldogs, they'd make a horse kick and buck.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd never clip a horse's ear, you know, let all the hair keep in the ear, because them darn things would get in the horse's ear and drive a horse crazy.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever go camping? What we call camping nowadays is when you set
up. No, I never ever went camping, but it seemed as though I never had no time for camping. I spent a lot of rough days in Canada out all night on the prairies, but it wasn't camping. I spent a lot of darn rough days in France, it wasn't camping.
Well, when you drove to